And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. You know, and as I go through and prepare for these shows, I usually have some sort of title in mind. I don't know, it just kind of summarizes the topic for me, or maybe the bigger theme or the overarching idea that has led to the show. And I save those so I know what I've talked about with you. And in this case, the title that I gave this, it's simply one word: unretired. Unretired. That's kind of sounds like a bad word. Almost a four-letter word, although there are more than four letters in that word. You get retired, but then something happens, and you have to become unretired. Ooh, sounds bad. And hadn't really occurred to me. I'm a younger dude. I'm retired. I left corporate America a few months ago after stringing the boss along for a while, doing that part-time thing for a while, started to enjoy the travel, said now's the time to make the cut. And when I hear that word unretired, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, but I encountered a gentleman recently that was lamenting that he may have to become unretired. And I started digging around, and it seems like a lot of folks are becoming unretired. How do you prevent that? Is there something you can do so that you don't get to the retirement doorstep and then in a year or two or three realize, what's happening? I'm running out of money. Things are costing more. My retirement account, stock brokerage account, whatever, has dropped precipitously. And that's exactly what this older fella was telling me about. My wife and I, we saddled up the RV bunker, grabbed the five-year-old. We headed out to a state park. We were there for, 6 days or so. And it's much like our tribe here at Lifestyles Unlimited. The people you run into when you're out camping, doing the RV thing, they're very, very friendly, very easy to talk to. And anyhow, I fell into conversation with this guy. He's 67 or 68, and he had, in fact, retired just a few years ago, pre-COVID. This was before COVID. And that's exactly the problem he's having now. And I'm sure he's not alone. His retirement accounts have dropped. He's got a little bit of a pension coming in from some prior work engagement that he had. He's moved around from different job types over the years. But those 401ks or equivalents, they're down. They're down for him. That's making him nervous. And on top of that, he said, this is the bigger thing really right now, is that he's getting hammered by inflation. He's got medications, he's got doctor visits, he's got things like that he has to take care of, and it's just costing him a whole lot more. So he's thinking about becoming unretired, and I started digging around, and sure enough, I came across this word in the World Wide Web, unretirement. And we've heard all kinds of little phrases over the past few years. You know, during COVID, we first encountered the Great Retirement, and that's when a lot of this gentleman's peers actually exited the workforce early, prematurely, because of health concerns. They're getting closer to retirement, maybe 60, maybe 62, that quote retirement age, right? That age. I better go ahead and exit. I don't want to get sick and just outright die before I even get to retirement. So we had the Great Retirement, where a lot of the older population did leave the workforce. And then moving onward down through COVID, post-COVID, and ongoing, we've now encountered the Great Resignation. Now, these aren't retirees. These aren't people necessarily that are retiring. They're moving to greener pastures. They're taking advantage of the fact that, well, by virtue of all these older folks and everyone else leaving the workforce, getting those, you know, those stimulus checks, et cetera, higher unemployment payments and so on, a lot of people left the workforce. So there's been a dearth or a lack of employees. So a lot of people are leaving their current jobs to move to greener pastures to make more money. That's part of the Great Resignation, and that's ongoing. And then finally, the newest term for me is this very unretirement. And if you look that up, you're going to find a number of articles, and it's interesting. A lot of people are seeing the fact that wages are climbing, On here, I'm focusing on this older cohort, and they're seeing the higher salaries, the higher wages that they could potentially earn. Maybe they're getting a little bit bored. Some people are choosing to go back. But you'll read, if you do any digging, a lot of people are having to do this out of necessity, just like this gentleman that I was talking with in the state park just a few days ago. Now, one lady, she in an article I read, she said, "Hey, I'm too young to retire, so I had to go back. I'm too young to retire. Hey, I'm in my late 40s. I don't know what that means." But clearly she has an age in mind. And a lot of us do that very thing. We have that age in mind. If I look at my birth year, my cohort, I'm Gen X, my retirement age per the government is 67 and some change. The gentleman that I was talking with, it was 65. Your age may be older if you're on the younger end of the spectrum, right? That retirement age per the government keeps getting older and older. But you really have to remember, retirement is not an age. If you focus simply on that age, you may, like this gentleman, get to that age and retire, and then realize, ooh, this isn't working. Maybe it's inflation, maybe it's some other event, maybe the cost of medicine has gone up so precipitously that you can't afford to retire. You need that health insurance, whatever it is, but you're focused on that age. And it's not an age, it should be a number. The theme of the show, I guess, is unretirement, or being unretired. And I encountered a live example of somebody that is approaching the need to exit retirement, to re-enter the workforce. And this was an older gentleman that I met while we were camping at a state park in northeast Texas recently, out on the lake, paddleboarding with my son. Great times, but some pretty serious conversations going on at times as well with this gentleman that we met there. And his problem, very concretely, is, well, it's twofold. It's number one, he's got two levers that are working against him right now. And a lot of people are probably experiencing this. Number one, those retirement accounts where he set aside funds for retirement, they have dropped. That's got him worried. On the other hand, what are we seeing? What have we been seeing? That quote unquote transitory inflation that's not quite as transitory as they tried to sell us in 2021. It keeps going up. And this fella, he's feeling that. He's feeling that. Now, he took the time to saddle up his RV to get out to the state park. So obviously he was able to eat a little bit of that higher gas cost. But his bigger concern was around medication and just general daily living. And I suspect that he is not alone. And what I don't want to happen to you is for you to get to retirement only to realize a year or two later that you have to re-enter the workforce due to lack of planning, lack of funds, lack of income. And if you just do a quick search online for unretired or unretirement, you'll see that is a thing. Right now, the quote unretirement percentage of folks re-entering the workforce is about 3.2%, just if you want to hang on to a statistic there. And for a lot of people, they are re-entering because the salaries are as high as they are due to a lack of employees. It's crazy that when we drive out to these far-flung parks, or I then left that park in the northeast part of Texas and drove south to another place a couple hours, every town I pass through, I see now hiring signs, emblematic of what's going on in the workforce. And that's what's pushing those wages up. And that is enticing some people to come back. My father-in-law, he's always hatching little plans, and he's bored. He's retired and he's getting bored. So maybe it's happening out of boredom. And he's talking, he used to be a pipe fitter. He's talking about going back to this trade or that trade, or working at this place or that place, just out of boredom, not even out of need. But this gentleman, he was talking about it out of fear and need and concern due to that drop in his retirement accounts. And it begs the question, what do you need to do to make sure that you get to retirement and do not find yourself in a similar situation? And it starts, I think, in part by reframing the question, when can I retire? And remember, retirement is not, should not be an age. If you focus on the age, you're going to focus on that spot in the calendar when you achieve that 67 years old, if it were in my case, 65 for the gentleman I was speaking with, you may not be conscious of what you really need to get into retirement successfully. You're focused on the age. But retirement is actually a number. What is that number? Now, when I was growing up, $1 million was the going number that I would hear in my circles. I need to get to $1 million so I can retire. You know, when I was late teens, let's say. That was a while ago. Now, we have had inflation. And that $1 million eventually, at some point, maybe it became $2.7 million. I remember a show by one of our other radio hosts talking about $4 million. If you're focused on a number like that, here's the question I want you to ask yourself, an honest question. If you believe it's any of those numbers, $1 million, $2 million, $4 million, $10 million, are you on track with your savings to get to that number? And to get to that number by that, quote, retirement age? Or even sooner? And then a bigger question, a corollary question, something you should really be thinking about right now is, have you accounted for inflation? Now, obviously now, and in the future. So if you're thinking about a pile of cash, are you on track to get to that number? And is that number slowly going to erode due to things like inflation? Again, I did a little digging around, and a common number I see out there online, recommended by financial planners, is they've acknowledged it's not a stack of cash. It's not a pile of gold. It is an income. It is a cash flow number. And the common advice that I see is that you should have 80% of your pre-retirement income in cash flow, in inbound income, after you retire. 80%. Okay. Well, why 80%? Well, they're speaking here, they as well, even though they're talking about a number, 80% of pre-retirement income. So if you're making $100,000 when you retire, your income, your cash flow needs to be $80,000. But here too, they're inherently focused on an age. Why is that? If you do any reading, they're going to talk about things like, well, you've paid off your house by now. You no longer have a mortgage payment. You're on Medicare. You don't have to make those health care payments. Obviously, you're no longer putting money away for retirement, so that drops off. I get that. But they're clearly speaking to people of an older, in that older cohort. What if you want to do it earlier? Well, is it 80%? What is that number then? Now, they're getting closer, because retirement is not an age. It's a number, and it is cash flow. Why 80%? Why not 100% of your current income? Does 80% imply I have to cut back a little bit? It may. Does 80% imply I may get to retirement age and then suddenly 2 years later have to become unretired? So why not plan for 100% or 110% or, I don't know, 150%? 200. Is that possible? Absolutely. Let's just say 100% of your current income is your goal to achieve in post-retirement income. In other words, you're matching your current income one-to-one. That means that if you're living off your current ongoing income from a job, from your earned income, then you now have the 100% equivalent coming in after retirement from some other sources. You're no longer working. And let's say you're a little bit younger, because again, retirement is not an age. I was in my late 40s when I left corporate America. And you get to that 100% equivalent coming in from other sources. Well, now the question is, do you really need to stay at that job? You can. You may be like my father-in-law and get bored and, hey, I need to do something, but you don't have to. So the important message here is that retirement is not an age. It's a number, and it's specifically a cash flow number. Is 80% correct? Is it 100? Is it 110, 150, 200? That's for you to figure out. When we come back, we'll talk about what I mean and how to determine that. So stick around.
Del Walmsley on how to live the lifestyle.
Whether you believe that being wealthy has to do with producing results or not, you have to realize that all money comes from servicing other people. It's either producing an asset for them, producing a product for them, or giving them a service, providing service. That's the only reason somebody would pay you. That's the only way you earn money, is people give it to you, other than governmental taxation of some form. But if you go back to the rich people that are billionaires, they've found out how to give people more benefit. So you say, why does a football player get paid $40 million a year? Well, because on any given Sunday, you've got 20 million people watching that game.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
You allowed 15,000 members into your sandbox.
Thank you.
And so that speaks volumes. So for that, and as a family.
So you know why I did that? Everybody always asks, why did you do this? Because I was an ugly kid. My parents used to have to put a pork chop around my neck so the dog would play with me. And so I always wanted to have friends, and I figured if I could make people rich, they might be my friend.
Join Dell and his successful friends. Start with the free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
I'm your host, Andy Webb, and we're talking today about having to come out of retirement due to a drop in your retirement funds, due to an increase in inflation like we've been seeing over the past months and months. And this was triggered by a conversation I had recently with a gentleman out at a state park where we were camping, and he's considering this very thing. You know, we talked a little bit about what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, that we invest in single family rental houses to generate extra income and cash flow, and that we invest in apartment communities to do that thing as well as and build wealth. But cash flow really is what you need in order to continue to thrive in retirement. And a lot of the financial planners out there, they'll tell you need 80% of your income right before retirement. So if you're making 100K when you head into retirement at age, fill in the blank, 67, you'll need $80,000. I say that's not good enough. I say, why not have exactly what I had going into retirement or more? I mean, if you're living off of your ongoing income from a job and you can replace that income from some other source, you don't even have to wait till that retirement age, do you? I didn't. A lot of people that I talk to at Lifestyles Unlimited don't. They retire far earlier, in their 30s, 40s, even younger. So what other sources do I mean? Do I mean some kind of, for income that is, do I mean some kind of side gig that keeps you hopping 60, 70, 80 hours a week? That's going to be hard to build up alongside your ongoing employment. And quite frankly, do you want to get to retirement and then have to really still work? No, what we want to do is create passive income. Why passive? Well, a couple of things. Number one, as you are working, as you are gainfully employed, as you are making those plans to head for the retirement finish line, you can build passive income in the background. You can do that while you continue to work at that earned income job. By its very nature, it is passive. So it shouldn't eat into that time that you need for that job, for that family, for those things that you're doing in your daily life. So that's one reason why. The other reason why, once you hit that number and it's passive, well, not only have you now bought your freedom from that job, like we said, you can leave, you can retire, you can quit, but you also have full control of your time. You're not bound to now do this other thing, because you have passive cash flow coming in. So back to that number. What is that number? I keep talking about a number. If it's not an age, it's a number. If it's not $1 million or 2 million or 4 million or 80% of my income, what is that number? Well, there are two ways that you can get to that retirement number. First and foremost, sit down and look at your monthly or annual expenses, probably both. There'll be some fluctuation. I just had to pay the insurance policy for our vehicles, for that RV that I mentioned. So that's a big bump in the current month. So I want to take that into account. Maybe you pay that monthly, but sit down and figure out what those monthly and what those annual expenses are. And that's at a minimum. That's what you need to match or meet with that passive cash flow. Now, thinking about our current environment and thinking about my conversation with the gentleman at the state park who is considering becoming unretired, re-entering the workforce, you might want to add an inflation adjustment in there, because we've seen a lot of it. Who knows how long it's going to last, and who knows what it'll look like in 10 years or 20 years. So when you're pondering that number, and when the Financial planners tell you 80%. I say, nah, maybe go a different direction. Why not 110%? Why not 120% of those expenses? So that's one number you can get to. The other number is your income. Very straightforward. Your W-2 earned income that you and your, if you're married, your spouse are bringing home from those jobs. It's a very easy number to get to if you are living above your means, not below, meaning you're not paycheck to paycheck, you are putting money aside, you are saving, then that W-2 income should be more than enough to cover those expenses and then some. So just take some time and sit down and figure out those two basic numbers and then set a goal to work towards. Again, if I'm making $100K per year gross, let's say, maybe that's my number that I want to match 100%. Maybe I want to do 150% of that number in terms of passive income. Set a goal and start to work towards that. So we've defined retirement not as an age, but as a number. And you'll have to sit down and figure out what that number is for you. And once you've determined that number, we're going to start to build the income from passive investments to get you there. And specifically, what kind of passive income are we talking about? As a member and an investor at Lifestyles Unlimited, we are targeting two types of investments, two types of passive income. Cash flow from single-family rental houses, number one, and cash flow from multi-family apartment communities. If I had to roll those up together, that is simply put, residential real estate, houses and apartments. Now, why residential real estate? Look, think about it. People absolutely have to have a place to live. That is the bottom line. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You got to have air to breathe. You got to have water to drink. You got to have food to eat. And just below that, you need shelter. Very important. So people are always going to need a place to live. Why not Airbnb? Well, people aren't always going to need that jaunt out into the country at the lake, especially when times are tough. Why not storage, self-storage? Well, people aren't always going to need a place to put their stuff, especially as they divest that stuff in hard times. But people will always need a place to live. That's why residential real estate. Another reason we love the houses and the apartments is the simple fact that we make money multiple ways. Multiple ways. Making money multiple ways, including significant, and this is not to be dismissed, significant tax advantages. And it's interesting to me, the government does not explicitly push real estate investing as a thing for us to do out here in America. And in fact, at times, it seems that the administration, the government, local, county, state, national, whatever, it often seems that they're very much at odds with what we do as real estate investors. But I will tell you, if you look at the tax codes, that tells you something entirely different. Because those tax codes sure do favor and encourage real estate investing. They encourage it. Now, a question I get a lot is, well, why not just park those funds in some sort of, we want cash flow, I get it. Why not just park those funds in some sort of dividend stock, right? It's paying dividends. Hey, I hear utilities do great in inflationary times like these. Yeah, people need a shelter, but they got to have electricity too, right? And gas, water. Well, you just said water, right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I hear utilities do great. Look, any stock or mutual fund, here's the problem. They're only going to make you money two ways. There's the appreciation of that stock, which is a little bit speculative on our part when we buy low and hope that it goes high. It's been doing the opposite lately, hasn't it? So we're waiting for appreciation and possibly those dividends. If you want to learn more about what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com, and you'll see a little yellow button that says Join Free Workshop. I'd encourage you to check that out. It's about an hour and a half. It is a live seminar that will tell you what we do as real estate investors, how we make our money five ways, six ways with apartments in houses and apartments. And you can learn what we do. It's an organization that is devoted to your education and providing mentorship for you as a real estate investor. And we've been around, Lifestyles Unlimited has been around for over 30 years now. That's very important. That's very, very important. As I think back to last week's show, I told you that the market may be shifting a little bit here. Who knows how much, what will come of that shift. But as somebody that is investing in houses and is now investing passively in apartments, I'm very thrilled to be in a group that will have great advice and recommendations and continued education around the events of the day as things do shift. Because there are people in this organization, obviously Del Walmsley, who founded Lifestyles Unlimited, has been at the helm for over 30 years as a real estate investor and has been through many, many cycles. So as somebody that's only been on the up part of the curve, well, I want to be around those folks that have seen the full cycle and learn from them so that we come out on the backside of whatever event, raring to go, continuing to invest, continuing to grow, and continuing to do the things that we're talking about here, which is create that passive income. There's no reason why you can't create passive income as there is, let's say, a decline in the housing market. And there's no reason why you can't continue to create that passive income when that housing market hits the bottom. That's a great time to buy. And there's no reason why you can't continue to build that passive income as that market returns and grows and hits its peak again and declines again. It is cyclical. The good thing is the ebbs and flows in real estate are not terribly pronounced as we see in the stock market right now. That thing is all over the place. It makes me queasy just watching it. I'm out. I pulled my funds out. I am out of that thing. But I have conversations with people like the gentleman at the park who are feeling the brunt of the ups and downs, and in particular, the downs. So he and I talked, and you know, he does have some capital at his disposal. And I told him what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. I wasn't real familiar with the organization. He was here in Texas, so he, you know, catches the radio show on AM here and there, has heard the Dell show as well. But I told him a little bit more in detail what we do and really how we, my wife and I, we created passive income just through houses, but investing in houses, rental houses, that got her retired after 3 years and me a little bit later. I said, look, you know, if it's income that you need, this is certainly an option. You don't have to start doing this in your 20s and 30s to build up a tremendous portfolio of houses or apartments. Sometimes it's just adding a couple of houses later in life, perhaps, that are kicking off that extra cash flow. You know, he nodded. He said that it sounds about right. So this gentleman is heading towards or was considering unretirement. That's that bad word that we opened the show with. And I don't know. Maybe he'll give that some second thought and look at other options, because there are other options. Let's talk about houses, because I think that's an option that's very common for a lot of people. When you are creating your passive income, a lot of what you do in residential real estate will come down in part to your capital base. What are you beginning with? What do you have to spend? Some of that may come down to your time, but houses are very, very easy for a lot of people to get into. That's how we started. And I talked on last week's show about our star realty team out of Houston. I'm gonna bring this one up again, because Moon Kim was the number one ranked realtor in all of Houston out of 45,000 members of the Houston Association of Realtors. Number one realtor in terms of transactions. Who's he working with? Well, the membership base at Lifestyles Unlimited. And I went and looked through my email, just was curious what he's sent out lately. I just want to give you a couple of concrete examples to this topic of cash flow. And there was one property, this is down in his area somewhere. I don't know the market closely, but bottom line for you is that the estimated cash flow to our topic today is $414 per month. That's a very common cash flow number that I see around single family houses. Why am I bringing this up? Well, after the show, when you're done listening, you're going to sit down and you're going to figure out what are your monthly expenses. And you know what your monthly income is. You should. And based on those numbers, and based on the knowledge that you can buy one house that's going to cash flow on average about $400, you're going to figure out, well, if I want to go this route, if I want to get that passive income built, how many houses do I need? Now, if you find out that number is 10 houses, let's say you find out that number is 20 houses. Don't get overwhelmed. Say, no way. Can't do it. It starts with one. It really does. And you'll find that that very first house kicking off $400 is very helpful right now as we're dealing with the inflation and everything else going on. Again, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. People need a place to live. Whatever fears you have about getting that house occupied, don't worry about it. The demand is very, very high right now. There is a lack of inventory. That's why the sales prices on houses remains high. Same is true in the rental market. People need a place to live. People want a place to live. People are out shopping. So if you pick up that house, you start to create $400 in cash flow. Well, let's say your number, monthly expense is $4,000. What do you need? You need 10 of those houses. Again, don't focus on 10. Focus on one. And once you get that first house and realize how easy that process was, then focus on the second one. And then focus on the third one. Now, I want to come back to Moon Kim and another email blast that I had seen from him a little bit back. Sometimes there are other investors out there that start, like I did, in the single family space and decide, hey, it's time. I want to move up into multifamily. And in those cases, sometimes those investors, they'll sell a house here or there, onesie, twosie. And sometimes they'll just sell that whole portfolio. Boom, I'm getting them all gone. Unloading the whole thing. And in this case, I saw a package of 7 single family houses. Now, naturally, your out-of-pocket's a little higher. But the point is this. If you have more capital and houses are the direction you want to go, it's a great option. Now, you need to know the people that are finding these opportunities. Moon Kim is one of those out of our Houston Realty offices. Interestingly, by the way, these 7 houses, estimated out-of-pocket, $127,000. Now, I don't throw that number out there to scare you. Again, you can start with one. But if you have more capital and think houses are the way to go, guess what? That works out to about $18,000 a house. That's a really good number. Cash flow, estimated cash flow per month, $2,900. Let's call it $3,000. That's a 27.4% cash-on-cash return. Those are really good numbers. That's 7 houses all at once. Again, it depends on where you start in terms of capital, which direction you go. At a minimum, start with one house. See how easy it is. And that's the beauty of residential real estate. It's very easy to repeat. Once you figure out the process or have somebody show you, which is what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited, it is so easy to wash, rinse, and repeat. So if your goal, your target is 10 houses, start with one, then make it 2. You get to 5, you get to 10. If you have more capital, boom, go buy a package. Or, Del Walmsley is what he would tell you, move straight into multifamily. If you have that capital to pick up that 7-house package, hey, pass go, take a ride on Redding, and go straight to that multifamily investment. We see the same benefits, whether it's houses or apartments. So if my average cash flow on a house, $400 per door on apartments, it's going to be a little bit less, but it's more doors. And you don't have to take down that apartment community all by yourself. Yeah, they could be millions of dollars. We just put our money into another investment, 120 doors. Millions of dollars. I'm just a passive investor. I'm just a piece of the puzzle, a piece of the pie. We're getting together with like-minded individuals to pool our funds to be able to get into these apartment communities that will kick off that cash flow that we need to be able to head into retirement, which we've done, without worrying about becoming unretired at some point in the future. It comes down to cash flow. Single family, multifamily, you choose which works best for you. What is your starting point? And you can learn more and we can help you figure that out. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on that free workshop button to learn more. And be sure to tune in. Can you continue to listen to the programs? Listen to the Del Walmsley show as well, because this guy, he's been doing it for 30 plus years. You will learn so much just by tuning into the podcast, listening live to the show. Bottom line, gentleman at the state park has his fears right now with the market tanking and inflation peaking and going higher. Is he going to have to come out of unretirement? I don't want you to get to the retirement finish line and have to think those thoughts and have those fears and have those worries. Make plans now. Build that cash flow so you don't have to get there and be afraid. Hey, you've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. You have a good day.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.